Yud Tes Sivan, Tuesday the 28th of May, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Words of Life and Death.
Morning. They tell a story of a boy named Yossi. Yossi was in yeshiva, very good boy. One day he's in class and he hears the rabbi say, this world is not to enjoy. Olam Hazeh Domeh LePruzdor, reading the Mesilat Yesharim. This world is like a hallway. We need to get to the next world. This world is not to enjoy, to have a good time. This world is to be serious, to be diligent. And, Be'ezrat Hashem, score a lot of points so that we could cash in the next world. Yossi hears this. He starts to make sure that everybody else sleeps on the bed. He sleeps on the floor. Everybody else is eating out. He eats yeshiva food. Everybody else is having a good time. And he's always in the Beit Midrash. He's always sitting and learning. He becomes the best guy in the whole yeshiva. And they come over to him. We have all these unbelievable girls for you to go out with, to get married. He says, no, I'm not ready. The truth was really, Yossi was worried. If I get married, I might have a good time. I'll be happy. And this world is not to be happy. And he's going through. And now he's one of the older guys in yeshiva. And he keeps on saying, no, he's not ready to get married. One day he's in shir. And he hears the rabbi say, some people, they get married. And it's Ezer Kinegdo, their wife is Kinegdo. And if they suffer in this world, it means the next world, they're going to go straight to Gan Eden. Yossi hears that, he says, oh, now I'm ready to get married. Calls up the Shadchan. He says, you know, I'm ready. She says, I have all these amazing girls. He says, no, I want the ones nobody else wants to go out with. She says, okay. She sets him up on a date, and this girl's rude and obnoxious. And he's thinking about all the reward, all the sahar he's going to get. But he says, you know what? I can do worse. And he keeps on going from town to town, dating all these girls. Finally, he meets one girl. Ooh, wow. She is the most rude, self-centered, egotistical person you ever met in your life. He goes out a few more times to make sure, and he says, oh, this is the one. He gets engaged. Everyone's telling him, Yossi, what are you doing? Don't do it. He says, I know what I'm doing. Don't worry. They go through during the engagement process. She fires 14 different caterers, 7 different photographers, 15 different musicians. And everyone's saying, Yossi, look at this girl. He says, don't worry. And he's thinking about Tim and Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, right next to each other in Olam Haba. Gan Eden. He gets married, first day. Says, if this is what she was like when she's engaged, imagine when we're married. He comes down the first day. Breakfast, eggs, waffles, pancakes, fresh squeezed orange juice. He starts moving around the eggs. He thinks maybe this poison. He doesn't understand what's going on. She's so nice. He says, you know what? Must be the first day of marriage. 2 days, a week goes by. He's never met anybody so nice. He doesn't understand. He sits it down. He says, you know, when we were dating, when we were engaged, you were very opinionated. You were very, you let everyone know exactly what you thought of them. Well, how come you're not being yourself? She looks at him and she says, what? And let you get Gan Eden? Never. If you look at the parashiyot, we just got the Torah. We're ready to go into Gan Eden. We're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. We build the Beit HaMikdash. And we're good. We have Gan Eden. And then we have, I'm from America, as you can tell from my accent, what I call the summer parashiyot. Over here in England, I think we already had our summer yesterday and the day before. Now we're back to regular. But the summer parashiyot, and you read through and you're trying to understand what happened. We got the Torah, we have the Nesiim, they dedicate the Mishkan. And then you have last week, Parasha Balot Echa. You have the complaining. You have at the end of the Parasha, you have Miriam speaking Lashon Hara. This week's Parasha, you have the Meragelim, the spies, they come and they speak bad about Eretz Yisrael. You have the Parasha after that, Korach, and there's Machloket, and there's fighting. The week after that, we read about Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock instead of speaking to it. The week after that, you read about Bil'am trying to curse the Jews. The week after that, you have Pinchas, and then you have Matot and Maseh, and it talks about making a neder and a promise. Ki chol hayotze mipiv yaseh. Anything you say, you must keep, you must do. Then you have Divarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking the Bnei Israel. And then you have Tisha B'Av. And I didn't see anyone say this, so feel free to disagree. When we say the Torah, we're looking for the Emet. We know Rabbi Yochanan. He was one time, he was in the ocean, and Resh Lakish was the head of the thieves, and he's jumping over the lakes. Rabbi Yochanan sees his immense koach, his immense potential and power, and he says, if you use your koach, use your power for Torah, I'll let you marry my sister. He says, okay, and he can't go 2-3 pages in the Gemara without finding Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish. When Resh Lakish passes away, Rabbi Yochanan comes to the rabbi and says, I can't do this. I lost my chavruta. They bring him a genius, an Ilui, a Gaon. And every single time Rabbi Yochanan says a pshat, this guy brings him 24 proofs that he's right. Rabbi Yochanan comes back to the Chachamim, to the rabbi, says, I can't. They say, what do you mean? Every time you say a pshat, he tells you you're right. He says, Resh Lakish used to ask me 24 questions. Not 24 proofs. I had to answer up each question. Then I knew if what I was saying is the emet is true. So please feel free to disagree. But I was thinking, what's the common denominator between all the summer parashiyot? What's the theme? I think the theme is the koach hadibur. The power of our speech. Whether it's the complaining, the lashon hara, the machloket, the arguing, the cursing, Moshe Rabbeinu hitting instead of speaking to the rock, making promises, rebuking. And then even after the Shabbat, we have Vayetchanan, Moshe Rabbeinu starts off praying, showing us the power of our prayer. The common theme, the common denominator in all the summer parashiyot is how we use our speech. And I think you could even say, it's not only a common denominator, maybe it's almost a sequence of events. It starts off complaining, husband and wife, parents, the boss, whoever it is. This complaining, that leads to Lashon Hara. After Lashon Hara, suddenly you have machloket, you have fighting, then you have cursing, then you have promises, I'm never going to come to your wedding, I'm never going to go over here, how dare you do this, I'm never... And then you have rebuking, you have fighting, you have... And then unfortunately you have a Tisha B'Av. And you have a Churban Beit HaMikdash. It's a common denominator and it's the theme. It's a sequence of events. How do we use our Koach HaDibur? How do we speak? The difference between us and animals, our rabbis tell us is, Hashem creates man. What does it say? It says Rashi, the nefesh chaya. Af behema haya nekre nefesh chaya. Even animals are nefesh chaya. But the only difference between man is, shenosaf bo de'a v'dibur. The difference between an animal and a human being is, we have intellect, v'dibur, and the power of speech. Obviously, intellect is what makes us different. The Ben Ish Chai, when he was a little kid, he was fighting with his sister. Who gets to hold the Havdalah candle? Many of us have this argument when you're kids. So his father says to him, Nu, why do you think you should hold the Havdalah candle? What's so special about it? Give me a good reason, and I'll let you be the one who holds it. He says, we see in the Havdalah, there's a progression. We start out, the first bracha is, Borei Pri HaGefen, the mouth. Then comes, Borei Minei B'Samim, the nose. Then, Borei Morei HaEsh, the eyes. And then, Amavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol, we can separate our intellect. He says, you have a piece of meat. So sometimes, right away when you taste it, you see it's spoiled. But even before you taste it, before you put it into your mouth, you can smell because the nose is above. And sometimes even before you taste it or smell it, you can see from across the room, it's spoiled, it turned, the color is off. And sometimes without even going into the room, someone tells you, you left a piece of meat out on the counter for a week, your intellect tells you, it's spoiled. You don't need to taste it, smell it, or see it. So obviously, the Ben Ish Chai said, his father thought it was a good answer, let him hold the candle. What do we see? Obviously, Dibur is one of the main powers, and the intellect is the most important. But without being able to use our mouth to verbalize our intellect, it's pointless. Some people, Chas v'Shalom, I heard a story of a man, he had a stroke. Until he was able to start using his mouth, he said, I was able to function and think properly. I was a prisoner in my own head. A prisoner in my own head. I was thinking, don't do this, do this, go over there. That. I couldn't verbalize it. And therefore, it didn't make a difference what I thought if I wasn't able to say it. Our koach hadibur, our power of speech. So it makes us different than animals. The Gemara in Baba Batra says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omer Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Even tova ita tuya b'tzavaro shel Avram. Avraham Avinu had a special amulet around his neck. Shekol chore areoto miyad mitrape. Whoever saw this amulet would right away get better. U'b'sha'a shepatar Avraham Avinu, and when Avraham Avinu passed away min ha'olam, Tala HaKadosh Baruch Hu BeGagal HaChama. God takes the amulet and hangs it on the sun. Very interesting Gemara. Daf Tet Zayin Amud Bet. I never heard about Avraham Avinu having a special magic amulet that healed the sick. Right? Little kids come home nowadays and they'll tell you every midrash. They think that's the Pashup Shah, the simple explanation. Nobody ever taught us or taught our kids about Avraham Avinu having a magic stone or amulet. What's going on over here? So I saw one rabbi say, what is this? This magic amulet was his koach hadibur. Around his neck was obviously his throat. People would come by, they're depressed, they're sad, they don't have stuff. Avraham Avinu was a beautiful orator, unbelievable speaker. He would say, don't worry, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is a gift from God. Business isn't going well. Shalom Bayit isn't going well. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Everything comes from Hashem. It wasn't that he had a magic amulet. He would speak to them. They would see him. They would hear him talk. And they would get better. When Avraham Avinu passes away, Hashem takes it. He hangs it on the sun. What does that mean? There's a story in the Gemara, actually in the Midrash, about Rabbi Akiva. He meets this Roman merchant, and the merchant says to him, how do I know there's a God? So Rabbi Akiva brings him all these logical proofs. He says, no, I want to see him. I have this quite often with students. We'll talk about different things and bring the most logical proofs. Yeah, but how do you know? Maybe they made it up. I'll say, so you really basically don't believe anything in history that happened more than 100 years ago. Because maybe they made it up. How do you know? This man said to Rabbi Akiva, I want to see God. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, come with me. He takes him outside. He says, look up at the sun. Very sunny day. They're in Eretz Yisrael. He says, well, I can't. He says, look straight at it. He says, it's impossible. Rabbi Akiva says, you can't even look at one of the emissaries of God. You can't even look at one of God's creations. You think you could look directly at Hashem? Impossible. Hashem takes this gift of Avraham Avinu, that we understand everything comes from Hashem, and he hangs it on the sun. We realize, but Avraham Avinu, what was this magic amulet? It was his koach hadibur. The way he spoke, the Kuzari brings down. Quite often you could have the same thing, which depends on how you put it. The story of a man, his father has a very serious surgery. He's now the head of the family. Everybody's in the waiting room. The doctor comes out and says, look, we did everything we could. Chances are, I would say 75, probably 80% chance, if I was not going to make it. I'm very sorry. The man's about to walk out. He sees through the little window his brothers, his sisters, his nieces, his nephews, his kids. And they're waiting. What's going to be with grandpa? Takes a deep breath, pushes open the door, and with a big smile he says, guys, great news! The doctor said there's over 20% chance grandpa's going to make it. We're going to say Tehillim, we're going to give charity, we're going to do it. It's the same exact thing. Just depends on how you say it. Just depends on how you say it. The koach hadibur, how we say things. Are we positive? Are we negative? How we talk to each other? How we talk to our spouses? The Maharal brings down when he discusses on Adivarim. He says a husband has a responsibility to speak nicely to his wife. If she's not getting the care, she's not getting the attention, she's not hearing the things she needs to hear from her husband, she's going to go to her sister, and her mother, and her friends, and that's why she's always on the phone. That's not the only reason, but why? Because she's not getting, she's not hearing the right things. I'm so proud of you, you look great, it's amazing. They tell a story of a person gets married. He's married a month, Baruch Hashem, things are going well. 5 weeks, he knows he must have done something wrong, but being a guy, he doesn't know what. Yeah. 6 weeks go by, he knows he did something wrong, but he's still not sure. 7 weeks, he's getting the cold shoulder. After 8 weeks, he says, I don't understand what I do wrong. And his wife bursts out crying. And he says, I don't understand what? She says, how come you don't love me anymore? He says, what are you talking about? She's like, when's the last time you said I love you? He said, I don't know. She says, a month ago, you haven't said I love you in a month. He says, look, I love you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. Yeah. Doesn't work like that. Right? Our spouses, our wives depend on us for their encouragement. And our children. Our children need to hear encouraging things. I was speaking to a person, he's a big psychologist, especially with children, and he said, 19 out of 20 comments we make to our kids are negative. Fix this, don't go there, why didn't you? 19 out of 20 comments we make are negative. I saw my friend brought down a story of a man, again, they could only have this in New York, they wanted to have a Jewish people, they wanted to have a food eating contest. So what's Jewish? They got these monster giant matzo bowls. And the knedlach. Right? These huge ones. And they said whoever finishes 10 the first wins. And there was this guy, and he finished 10 huge ones in 2 minutes and 56 seconds. And they had the mayor of New York at the time, Rudy Giuliani, he gives him the award. And they interview the guy, and he says, my one regret is that my father wasn't here to see this. My father always said I was a loser. Look, Dad, I'm not a loser. And it's comical, but at the same time, it's so sad. It hurts so much. This man went through life, and his father called him a loser. And he went through life thinking he's a loser. How we speak to our wives, how we speak to our kids, this is what changes who we are, and this is what the impression we can give. Who are we? What are we? Depending on how we're spoken to, and how we speak to others. That's how it's going to be. That's our relationship. This is a story I remember hearing as a kid, but I think it has much more of an impression when we're adults. Of a doctor who comes to the king and says, look, we ran all the tests, we did everything we can. The only thing that can cure you is the milk of a lioness. Who's going to get the milk of a lioness? One guy says, I'll do it, but I can't guarantee, I need 10 sheep. Okay. They give him 10 sheep, he goes out into the jungle and he finds a lioness. And from far away he makes sure that the lioness sees him and he sends out a sheep. She devours the sheep. 2 days later, he comes a bit closer, sends out another sheep. Next day closer, till on the last day he's able to milk the lioness. He's traveling back to the king. He's going to be a hero. He's going to be rich. And that night he has a dream. And all his different body parts start talking to each other. And the eyes say, I'm the most important. Without me, you wouldn't have been able to see the lioness. And the hands say, without me, you wouldn't have been able to milk the lioness. The feet say, without me, you wouldn't have been able to get close to it. And the mouth says, what are you talking about? I'm the most important part of the body. They say, what'd you do? Hey, you're nothing. He says, okay, I'll show you. He comes, they make a whole big parade. He comes to the king, and the king says, I'm so proud of you. He says, thank you, your highness. I present to you the milk of the kalba. He says, the milk of a kalba, of a dog? How dare you? I'm dying and you have the audacity to mock me? Tomorrow, off with his head. They put the guy in the dungeon. That night again, he has a dream. And all the body parts start screaming, what'd you do to us? And the tongue says, you see, I told you I'm the most important. He says, that's very nice, but now what? Now we're dead. He says, don't worry, I think I could talk us out of it. He goes, and they say, well, you have a final request. He said, I'd like to speak to the king. They say, look, the king, he's decided to behead you. You make it worse, he'll probably torture you. It's probably not worth it. He says, no. He comes in front of the king. He says, what do you want? He says, look, you didn't let me explain. Where I come from, kalba is also the term they use for a female lion. You're dying anyways. Drink the milk. If you get better, you know I'm telling the truth. If not, you can kill me. King says, okay, he drinks the milk and he gets better. Hachayim v'amavet, life and death, b'yad ha-lashon. How we speak, how we say things, that's how we live or we die. Some people, they're brilliant, and they can't make a sale. And some people, they flunked out of school, they never even passed, they didn't get out of a few years of high school, they're making big money. Why? Because they're wheeler dealers, they're sweet talkers, they can get out of anything, they're talked away. Chayim v'amavit, life and death, b'yad ha-lashon. There's a story of a man, unfortunately never got married, and he lived with his father, an older man, and he bought himself a dog, and this dog, he made sure he got the little clothing for the dog, he took care of his dog like his child. He had to go on a business trip, he comes to his friend, he says, you know, would you be able to take care of my father and watch the dog? He says, sure, no problem. The man's on the business trip. He calls up his friend. He says, "So, how's everybody doing?" He says, "I'm really sorry. Your dog died." "What? What happened?" He says, "Yeah, I opened the door. He ran out into the street. He got hit by a car. There was nothing I could do." He says, "Well, you know, that's not how you break bad news. You almost gave me a heart attack." He says, "What? That's what happened. What should I have done?" He says, "You break it slowly, gently. You should have told me. Look, he went up onto the roof, and we couldn't get him to come down. And then we got him to come down, but he hurt himself, and we called the Hatzalah, and they tried, but unfortunately, you prepared me." He says, "Okay, now I know." The guy says, "Had my father take hearing that the dog died?" He says, "Oh, your father, he went up to the roof, and..." The way you break the news, you can chas v'shalom make it, or chas v'shalom break it. We know that Abraham Avinu is told by his wife Sarah, "Garish et beno ma'azot, you must get rid of this slave of Ishmael." And the commentaries tell us, what was Ishmael doing? Ishmael was shooting arrows at Yitzchak. And Abraham Avinu doesn't know, should I kick him out, should I not kick him out, what do I do? And Hashem has to come and say, "Look, listen to Sarah." And I think the obvious question is, if Abraham Avinu sees Ishmael is trying to kill Yitzchak, why is he hesitant? He knows. He's trying to kill him. I got to get rid of him. What's going on? How come he's not sure? Yes, no. So I once heard a pshat from Rav Pinchasi on the story of David and Yonatan, when there's a haftarah of Machar Chodesh. And the Navi brings down, David HaMelech is pretty sure that Shaul wants to kill him. The king, Saul, wants to kill him. So they have a plan. He says, "Look, I'm not going to go to the party they have on Rosh Chodesh. You're going to come. If you see that your father wants to kill me, you take the arrow, you shoot it far, and I'll know he is trying to kill me. And if not, then shoot it close, and I know that the coast is clear, I'm safe." Yonatan comes to the meal. Shaul knows that David is good friends with Yonatan, and he says, "Matai ben Yishai ba? When is ben Yishai coming? I didn't see him. Lo tomo lo shoshom. I haven't seen him for a few days." They say Kabbalistically, we read this before Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a time of renewal and rebirth. And it's alluding to us. Rosh Chodesh is coming. We say, Rosh Chodeshin al-chan al-tata, Zman kapara, it's a time of doing teshuvah. It's a hint, too. We're supposed to ask ourselves as Rosh Chodesh approaches, when is David HaMelech? When is Mishai coming? When is Mashiach coming? But on a simple level, he says, where is he? Where's David? Yonatan knows it's true. Shaul is trying to kill David. He comes out into the forest, shoots the arrow far. David knows that he's trying to kill him. Yonatan then sends the nar, he sends the lad, go pick up the arrows. He sends him back home. David comes out of hiding, and there's a massive embrace. And the commentaries ask, if they were going to meet up anyways, why have the whole thing with the arrows? Far, close, yes, no. They're going to meet up. They're going to hug. They're going to say goodbye. Just say, "You're right, my father is trying to kill you." So they say, what's going on over here? Whether you realize it or not, David HaMelech and Yonatan did not want to speak Lashon Hara. They didn't want to speak bad about Shaul. And they weren't sure, so they made a whole plan. But once they know it's factual, once they know it's true, that Shaul is trying to kill him, it's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is an arrow. We don't speak Lashon Hara. I was thinking, and again, feel free to disagree. Like we said, we want to come out with the Emet. Rabbi Yonatan Esh Lakish. Esh Lakish ends up saying, "Oh, chabruta omituta," and he ends up, they pray for him to pass away. He had no one telling him if he was right or wrong, if the Torah was Emet. I was thinking, and again, feel free to disagree, maybe you could say, it wasn't that Ishmael was literally shooting arrows at Yitzchak. Obviously, if he's trying to kill him, Abraham has to send him out of the house. He was speaking Lashon Hara. He was speaking gossip. He was talking bad about who knows who, Abraham, Sarah, the family, Yitzchak. Sarah sees this, the arrows. She sees the Lashon Hara and she says, "Get rid of Ishmael, he's killing my kid." Chaim v'amave b'yad ha-lashon. Abraham says, "Oh, it's Lashon Hara, it's not good, but to kick him out of the house." Hashem has to come and say, "She's right. Listen to her, kick him out of the house. Those arrows, that's Lashon Hara. That's life and death. The way you speak is life and death. It's not literal, but it is. I asked my brother-in-law, Rabbi Shlomo Farchi, you think this pshat is emet? He said, you see the words, Mi Aisha Chafetz Chaim. Who's the one who desires life? Ohev Yamim Lerot Tov, Netzor Lashon Chamera. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Mi Aisha Chafetz Chaim. The word Chafetz, he said to me, is the word Chetz with a pay in the middle. Chetz is an arrow. Chafetz Chaim, you desire life, realize it's a Chetz, it's an arrow. With your pay, with your mouth. HaChaim V'amave B'yad HaLashon. How we speak, where we go, what we do. The way we say things. 80% chance of death. 20% chance of life. Which one is it? Are we using our margarita? Are we using our diamond, our pearl, our amulet around our neck to speak positive? Throughout the summer parashiyot, we see over and over, whether it was the Meragilim, whether it was Miriam, whether it was Korach, whether it was Bilam, whether it was Moshe Rabbeinu not speaking, but hitting. Rabban Gamliel says, "Lo ra'iti guf tov ela shtika." Sometimes the best thing to do is to keep quiet. Not to say anything, not to get involved in the fight. How are we using our koach ha-dibur? How are we using our power of speech? We have to realize we have immense potential. We're so big, we're so special. How are we using our mouth? So I'm just going to end with this story. A story about a man who goes to the Baal Shem Tov. And he says, "Rabbi, I want to meet Eliyahu HaNavi." Not everybody gets to meet Eliyahu HaNavi. It doesn't work that way. He says, "Please, I got to meet him." He says, "Okay, you want to meet Eliyahu HaNavi? Go to this and this place. Be there for Rosh Hashanah. It's in a few days. You'll meet Eliyahu HaNavi." The man's very excited. He packs up food, tells his wife and kids, "I'm going to meet Eliyahu HaNavi." He comes, he's expecting a palace or a mansion. And first he doesn't even see it. It's a little hole in the wall. He says, "Oh, Eliyahu HaNavi," very humble. And he knocks on the door. This woman opens up. She's wearing ripped clothing. He sees all these kids peeking out their heads, looking dirty and disheveled. And he says, "Excuse me, can I please stay here for Rosh Hashanah?" She says, "Look, why don't you go to town? People are able to be able to help you much more hospitable. I don't have any food for you to eat. I don't have anywhere for you to sleep." He says, "Look, I bought enough food for you and your family. I'll sleep on the floor. Please let me stay here." She hears that. She says, "Okay." First day, Rosh Hashanah, they're having meals together. He's praying. It's beautiful. No Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, "Must be second day of Rosh Hashanah." He comes, he's davening, he's never been on such a spiritual high. He's waiting. No Eliyahu HaNavi. He's very upset. He goes back to the Baal Shem Tov. He says, "I don't understand. I left my wife, I left my kids, I left my shul. I come over there for Rosh Hashanah, nothing." Baal Shem Tov says, "You didn't meet Eliyahu HaNavi?" He says, "I didn't meet him." He says, "You must have done something wrong. Go back, be there for Yom Kippur, you'll meet him." He says, "You sure?" He says, "I'm sure." Again, he packs up his stuff. He travels all the way there. Erev Yom Kippur, an hour and a half before the fast, he's about to knock on the door. And he hears little 14-year-old David. "Mommy, how am I supposed to fast? All we had to eat was a little bit of bread and water. I'm still hungry. I know that after the fast we have nothing. How am I supposed to concentrate on Yom Kippur? How am I supposed to fast?" And the mother, tears streaming down her face. She knows her son is right. She says, "Don't worry, sweetie. The same way Hashem sent us with food for Rosh Hashanah, Eliyahu HaNavi, He'll send us again with food to break the fast after Yom Kippur, Eliyahu HaNavi. We go, we search, we're looking. If only I had that, if I was able to." Every one of us, in our own situation, our own lives, we can be Eliyahu HaNavi. We are Eliyahu HaNavi. If we use our koach ha-diyu, or our power of speech properly, if we make sure that we give chiyut, we give life to our spouses, to our kids, to our co-workers, to our neighbors, be'ezrat Hashem, ha-chaim v'amav b'yad ha-shom, life and death, we'll be able to give life to those around us, we'll be able to fix up the mistakes of all the different people in the summer parashiyot, and then we won't have to have another Tisha B'Av, we'll be able to have the Beit HaMikdash rebuilt. M'hera b'amenu. Amen. Amen.